Welcome to the Culinary Mechanic Podcast. Now, it's formerly Chef Journeys, and I know what just happened. But, you know, sometimes you look at things and you realize it's not quite right. And honestly, it wasn't big off. It wasn't way, way out of the park. But Chef Journeys, Culinary Mechanic, it was just time to align them. So, we're going to get going, and we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to continue to talk to chefs, but I think we're going to branch out a little bit. We're going to find ourselves talking to some pretty cool folks in the hospitality industry. I got my eye on a couple of gurus that I want to bring in, folks that are doing technology, folks that are doing things that really are adjacent and or sometimes perpendicular to the hospitality industry. But I think at the end of the day, the goal is to get you insights, strategies, tools, and tactics that are going to help you run your restaurant like a well-oiled machine. And that is the goal for me, to just bring the knowledge, bring some insights, bring a fucking story, okay? Anyway, today we've got somebody who is, man, he's just beautiful, beautiful soul to talk to. And he's got a slightly different perspective on things. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. So here we go. Today, I am so, so lucky to get to welcome Pablo Valencia out of Tucson, Arizona. He runs Scratching the Plate, doing some amazing things down there. And I'm just so happy to have you with us, Pablo. So welcome.
Yeah, man, thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to actually spread to spread news, to like spread the ideas, and I really appreciate that, bro. Seriously.
Absolutely, man. The joy of starting a brand new podcast and like keeping it small and simple is that I just pressed the gas. So I'm gonna start with the first question, and here we go.
Oh, cool.
That first question is, how did you get into this industry?
Oh, food. Almost by accident, really. I mean, because like food has always been a part of my growing up. I just thought that it was normal that everybody did what they did. I guess like when it came to my first like actual job, like I was a dishwasher, just like most of the greats, man. They started from the bottom, and I was a great dishwasher. I was a horrible employee, but I mean, I was a great dishwasher. I did my job very, very well, and they moved me up to prep cook. And then from that point on, we found out that I had a palate, and my chef at that time, Chef Gino, he explained to me what a palate actually was. And he had me like dissect dishes without knowing what ingredients were in there. And we kind of grew from that. But of course I was a kid and didn't really realize the value of that, and kind of did my own thing. But food was always the return to it. But when I was growing up, I think that's probably kind of what triggered everything, was the root of just scratch food in general, and how it's made, the process of it, and the memories that are made around the table and around the process of actually making food. In general, like for example, me and my sisters, we had to grow our own produce to eat. We had to butcher our own hens. We had to butcher our own parts of beef as a kid, and like we were horrible at it. But that was part of our job. And my grandma and my grandpa taught us that. And they were kind of like a focal point of my adolescence, and I like to bring that aspect out in other people, because a large part of my joy and what I see in other people's joy comes from just plain old food. For example, when I ask people, like, hey, like what is your favorite dish that your mom made, that your grandma made, that your dad made, and what ends up happening is I get to see this person light up, because they do talk about the cornbread that their mom made or the shepherd's pie. Like I do get to hear that. But what I get to see is they get to revisit that memory that happened around that dish. And be it simplistic, I love that aura and I want to spread that as much as possible. And I think with food, we can actually do that.
That's awesome. I love that concept, like down to its core, right? I mean, that's why food is so powerful. The memories that you can evoke, right? I think that brings it down to the core. It's the things that like remembering mom's dishes, remembering grandma's dishes, those are special things. I mean, but I think on the other side, it's also like why breakfast is so hard. Right? Like
the aim in general is hard.
Totally. But like I think about breakfast and it's like, man, like nobody can do eggs the way mom did eggs, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly, dude. You know, I cannot make the cheese omelet still that my Nana used to make. Like I have no idea how she made it taste the way she did. And like I can't replicate it. And I just think it's that memory that made it taste that way at that time. And like that part is just so golden and so genuine to me that you can't recreate that, but we can try as hard as we can or make new ones. And that in itself is just, it's a really good thought, you know?
I mean, my grandma had a dish that nobody could replicate. And it wasn't until honestly, like 3 months before she passed that she shared with me that there was like a jar of bacon fat that she hid from everybody.
And
she
that was a bit, huh?
Yeah, man. It's like because she would never tell anybody. Like, she'd show you how to make the dish, and it would never come out as good, never. But then when she would make it, and it was just,
it was spot on. Like, bacon. How did you do that? You're trying to figure out what the pan is. It's the pan. I know it.
Oh man, that's awesome. Yeah, memories for me from food, it's so strong. It's so good, such good stuff, right? I mean, I think back to some of the dishes that I've learned to make over the years, and it's like you remember the group of guys tasting it for the first time, or guys and gals, yeah, in the restaurant. And it's like sometimes that's the best part of like understanding a new recipe or understanding a recipe, right? And learning it from somebody. I love that. That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, spreading knowledge like that, because like I don't want to say a lot of food knowledge is harbored today, but I think it's just not really well absorbed by people that are eating it. And if we can teach it in any way, shape, or form, no matter how it comes across, that idea sparks another way to either cook the food that they like, or to inspire them to inspire somebody else. Just like the passing of ideas, and that is just, yeah, that's a warming thought. I like that.
Yeah, you are talking my language, brother. So you get in, you got a palate. Awesome. The joke in my family is my wife has got a better palate than me.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't cook. So she gets a lot of tastes when I cook it for friends, or even when I'm cooking at home, I'm like, here, taste this. Tell me where we are. Because she senses things better than I do, and I'm not sure altogether what that is. Having a palate is amazing. You know, I think that it is one of those funny things about the restaurant industry and the culinary industry is, for a lot of us that have been in it a while, my sense is that you've been doing this a couple of years, there's always that thing that like, I hate the word stuck, but it's real, right? Like, how did you get stuck in the industry? And I don't think that stuck is a negative thing in this context. So yeah, that's the next question is like,
but it can be though.
What kept you in there, man? Right? Like, because for me, like, there's always something that like kept a hold of me that I wanted to be there.
Yeah. Honestly, like the amount of knowledge that you can just consistently gain, no matter what kitchen that you go into, no matter what person that you're learning from, like you don't know everything. And the more I learn about other cooks, other chefs, other kitchens, other lines, other methods, like the amount that our knowledge is still growing is unfathomable. So like that is, to be a part of that movement kind of keeps me going in a way, because like food will never change, never stop. And what was like almost kind of sounds conspiracy theorist of me. Like I am such a root back to fire. Like I love fire cooking. I strive to do literally everything that a kitchen can do on coal. And I've baked cakes. I've done lasagna. I've done all that with just fire. And nice. If I can teach that in itself, which is pretty complex, sure that is. can pass on. You know that term, teach a man to take a man to fish and feed him for a day or something like that, but teach him to fish and feed him for a lifetime. You know, same theory. Like I want to implant a really great trade, a skill, a piece of knowledge that person A, person B, person C can take and do whatever they want to with it. Because when I'm gone, when they're gone, like that knowledge will still be there in different flower forms. So like, that's what keeps me going, is this, like, what we know today is given to us by people that were doing our shit for centuries. So Imagine from this point on.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a really good point. I mean, the amount of knowledge that's out there. And I think that in the world, everything goes towards the little boxes that we hold in our hands, right? Everything moves forward with technology and all these things and all the gadgets that you can play with in the kitchen. But I think that the idea of a massive depth of knowledge that goes back is like this, like really, once again, sort of like heart swelling thing, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, like you talk about making lasagna over a coal fire or in a coal fire or however that looks and feels. And like, by the way, I want to see that. you know, I mean, I got a chance to spend summer on a farm doing events at this, like, think farm to table concession stand, right? So it's go grab the potatoes, go grab the carrots. We'll get them washed up, and tomorrow we're going to do like farm fries, you know, where we're roasting the potatoes, but instead of roasting them in an oven, we had a handyman built us a wood fired flat top. So you got nice. quarter inch steel over a half barrel, and the barrel raises and lowers so that you can adust how much heat you've got. And so we were slow roasting potatoes and carrots, and then doing like sort of a loaded fry feel of vegetables. But like, just the ability to like go back to the simple, right? Simple, not easy, is what I like to tell people. And like you said, it's like there's some complexity in cooking over fire that you don't always get with other things. The methods just go on and on. So
yeah, exactly.
I truly appreciate the depth of that. That's awesome. And I will tell you that having done a few of these episodes, that's one of the more unique answers, because most people start to talk about, like, for me, it was like, man, I like being a band of pirates. You know what I mean? Like, right. But like, so, cause that's what kept me. And I was like, wow, this is great. This is like, this is like a new community. So I respect and love that answer of, just the food and the knowledge of it all. That's awesome. So now you've got a catering kitchen, and that's the now. And then there was a was, right? All the way back to Chef Gino. So tell me what the events are that, like, for me, there's always like that thing that leads you down the path to get you to where you are. What was that corner that really turned for you that brought you to scratching the plate?
The momentum of like my own concept didn't really make any type of light probably until like 2000, maybe 15, 16 ish. Cause like I knew that if I kind of stayed where I was always going to be cooking other people's food, which is fine. Like that's not a problem at all. But I thought that I have a different type of mindset. Yeah, I have a really good product, but my vision about how that product actually is what I want people to see, because it's how the whole process is made, that I want people to actually realize. No, I can't do a massive amount of people at one time, but the quality that I can get from like a 60 to 100 top, maybe even, is just immaculate, because I can focus on literally every aspect of the cooking process. What was the question again? Forgot.
The question is, what was the thing or things that like sort of turned a corner that led you to kind of where you are now?
I heard that. So there was this thing that I did called Scratch It Wednesdays back when I first like didn't really have like the name quite yet, but Scratch It Wednesdays, basically cooking scratch. And I wanted to play off the word scratching and stuff like that. And that kind of bounced back and forth. But the theme was every Wednesday I would walk into a market, preferably one that I haven't been in yet, and pick three ingredients that I haven't used before and walk out of there and make a dish with it at home. Of course, using some background ingredients that would help make a body, of course. But that's what I would do. And sometimes there were 10, sometimes there were negative fives, but I did learn that that combination profile tasted that way. And then I started to play with like faux pairings, which are just like pairings that you don't normally see, like strawberries and peppercorn, or like it's like coffee searing, basically like concepts that you don't really put two and two together. I loved that whole contrast, and then that kind of flourished. I can make basically anything out of anything as a skill set. So I wonder if I can go like even further. And I started to go back to the fire and cast iron. And then I got questions, people like why do you use so much cast iron? And I was like, well, you know how, like, imagine yourself driving a like 1957 fucking Bel Air, four on the floor, like everything about that car what had some attention to it, like every single thing, even driving the car, to me, not that complex, but using cast iron, using old carbon steel, it's like driving the stick shifts. Like you have to pay a lot more attention to every component of the process as you're going along. Even the care, the aftercare, like you have to make sure everything's well oiled, well seasoned. I think that in itself creates a profile. You can add a profile to food with cast iron without adding anything about it, like, because just that type of material gives a sense of aromatic like to it. Yes. Yes, and there's a crust that comes off it, there's just a feel that comes off it that I love to return to. So don't get me wrong, like I still love using the all clads on a French top. But there's just something that's very soothing about just smoke in your face and the heat of a fire and the company around it, you know? And yeah. I want that idea to be spread. So basically, yeah.
No, what you've just kind of described to me is what I would kind of put into the, like, distilling that down. It's like, it's the intention of the craft.
Right? Yes,
it's the craft, or said the other way, it's the craft of intention, right? I love like that. That makes a lot of sense to me, right?
Yeah.
It's evocative of like, yes, I totally get it. You're driving down the road and like in those old cars, you put your foot down on the clutch in just such a manner,
uh-huh.
And shift, and you know, like my father used to say, he's like. When you're shifting in those cars, it's not shifting, it's shifting, you know, because let's remember that, like, that shifting of gears is coming out of gear into neutral and then into another gear. Right.
Exactly.
And
so right.
I think about the, as I'm listening to you talk about cast iron, I'm like closing my eyes and I'm going, okay, the metal, the heat comes through the metal, the metal's thicker, it conducts, but there's also like the pores of the steel, right, that
Exactly.
allow for that crust and like the little bit of like that little bit more oil that like creeps down into there and then gets that, you know,
It's all that carbonization. There's more surrounding heat. It's a lot more consistent cooking surface. Like, yeah, it's just a nice thing. It's a workout to cook with, I'll give you that, but it's a lot more rewarding, honestly.
Yeah. I feel like some of the cooks that I worked with back in the, you know, in the 90s and the early aughts, like some of those guys using the heavier French steel pans, like you never saw forearms on guys like you did like that, right? Like they could, like I used to work with guys and they pick up like one or two pans in each hand. And it's like, I'm like, wait, like I'm not weak. I'm a strong big boy, but
Yeah, straight up,
damn,
man.
son,
I
you know?
ain't afraid of a
So
boss. I'm afraid of a line cook, straight up.
yeah, like, you know, they got like chicken legs, no chest, but forearms, you
Bam, boy.
know?
I'll break a lobster with my forearm. Straight up.
Oh, that's great stuff. I love it. I love anytime you can talk about cooking for people. And by the way, 60 to 100 is nothing to sneeze at, man. I think that being able to do that for me is great volume, right? When you're talking about catering, above that starts to become mechanical to me,
It's a
right?
little harder, yes. It
You know,
becomes.
I mean, I even would say that like some of my favorite numbers are like 30 to 50 because it is small enough and intimate enough that you might actually
Beautiful
be
summer.
able to talk to a majority of those people because for me, I think community is real important as well. You know,
Yeah.
the ability to interface with somebody and have them go, I don't know how you did it. And I think to myself, that's okay, but here's how you do it. You know, like, no, so the community aspect of those medium-sized numbers, but I absolutely love that craft of intention. I think you and I now have a new term we can coin for ourselves.
I love it. Seriously, man.
Yeah, I love to, well, I love doing this podcast because I get to talk to people who have a different viewpoint, and yours is definitely different. In all the right ways, by the way. I
Oh, good.
think,
Thank you.
you know, I think what really resonates for me is that you've found your path and you've chosen a path. As you look back at others who were in your world and others that continue to come into your world, what advice have you got for like a cook coming up or a dishwasher that's a good dishwasher or just say a we'll just start with a fresher cook, right? What advice have you got for us?
It's going to be so hard to tell somebody this because they're not going to realize it, but I'm going to say it anyways. Like, don't be loud. Let your work speak for itself because your work is going to be the loudest thing in that kitchen. Learn how to take a punch and learn how to get yelled at. You're going to be young, you're going to be stupid, you're going to want to yell back, and you're going to want to fight shit. I did. But I tell you, every single thing that you learn on that cutting board, on that range, in the oven, getting burned, getting cut, like it's a step in the right direction. If you truly see yourself in a field that's really hard as hell, man, like this, the
Yeah.
field has probably still one of the highest turnover rates in just the employment force in general. So, like, if you stay within this field for an X amount of time, you're mentally a badass because you can take a punch to the face and still keep going, still get to the end of the ticket line. So honestly, like, yeah, to that young person, time is gonna give you so much of what you're gonna need. And don't think for one second you know everything because you don't know it. You don't know shit.
Oh boy, oh boy. What is the saying? The older I get, the more I learn how little I know.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. For real. Like, you can still learn no matter how old you are. And yeah. Yeah, just never stop learning. Never stop learning. Never, ever stop learning.
Yeah. Stay curious. Those are some great words, man. Man, Pablo, what a great conversation. I can't thank you enough for coming to play with us today.
Well, man.
It has been a genuine pleasure. In the show notes, we're going to throw in how to find Pablo. I know that you're on Facebook and you're on Instagram.
Yep. I'm getting a website again, but yep, it's the basic socials. Yep. Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
Nice. Well, sweet. Once again, thank you so much for coming. Playing with us. For all of you out there, I will see you next time.